glad you're here. We've got Hog on the Hill and all these wonderful silent auction items. You guys don't have to wait. You can start bidding this morning. Don't be last. Don't be last. We also have Stone Soup today at 1:30. So those of you that want to help out with Stone Soup, we'd love to have you. Again, that's at 1:30. We hope you'll sing out with us. Hands together. Here we go, guys.
Lord.
Please be seated. My name is Chase Green. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury United Methodist Church, and it's a delight for me to welcome you here to this wonderful time of bringing God praise and worship here in this place. We celebrate that you're here this morning, and we celebrate that we have visitors here and guests, and so we want to extend a special welcome to you all. We also want to let you know we have attendance pads that we passed around to you, and we invite you to fill out your name so we can know who was here this morning. We also want to lift up that we have a lot going on in the life of this church, and that is a blessing. And what I want to start off with is inviting Scott Maples to come forward for a brief announcement.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Maple, and I've had the privilege of working a little behind the scenes with Clark Cogbell and his team getting ready for this great day. And I'm a little bit of an introvert, so I'm going to look to you guys to help me share the message that I've been asked to share this morning. Don't get too concerned. All it involves is raising your hand when I ask you a series of questions. Everybody good with that? All right, good. So raise your hand if you were led to Asbury, in part at least, based on the friendly and welcoming environment that you experienced here. Good. All right. How many of you have stayed at Asbury, not just because of the awesome preaching and the awesome band, but also because of the friendships that you've made since you came to Asbury? Okay, great. Now, this one's a little bit tricky, so listen carefully before you raise your hand. How many of you feel like you have all the friends that you'll ever need from here on out? Good. Good listening. All right, so the message today that I wanted to share with you guys is to make sure when you go out today and you interact with the folks that you see from the community at Hog on the Hill, that you make them feel that same warm and welcoming environment that you all experienced when you first came to Asbury. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Speaking of Hog on the Hill, I don't know if you know this, but it is tonight at 4 to 7. It's going to be an incredible time together. Obviously, you know there's going to be a silent auction because all of these fabulous things you can put your name and amount on, and that'd be great to go toward that. We also have our barbecue competition, a dessert competition. My wife is entering her famous chocolate chip cookies. Good luck. Also, we have the petting zoo with Ruru the kangaroo. We have a climbing wall. We have all kinds of games. We have live, the Canvas band will be here. We also have Melinda Mayo from Channel 7. Dr. Bill Susui from Hendricks College will be here to celebrity guest judge. And so what more could you want? I mean, all of this for a great time together this evening. And so we really appreciate you all being here. We do want to encourage those that can to please help with Stone Soup today. Be there at 1:30. It's at Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church at 16th in Louisiana. And we'll right after that, we can come over to Hog on the Hill and have a great time together. We want to let you know about ACCDC, A Taste of Culture, coming up. We have some silent auction items that are due for that, and so we want to encourage you to participate with our preschool in that endeavor. We also have a new member luncheon coming up a week from today at noon. It'll be a catfish feast, and so you'll want to be here if you've joined the church in the last few months. You should have been called, but if you haven't or you haven't received any notice of that, you're more than welcome to be a part of that. And, of course, we have Hog on the Hill, but we also want to point out a very special Sunday in the life of the church. 2 weeks from now is All Saints Sunday, where we honor all of those who have passed away in the last year, and we just think deeply about their impact upon our own faith journey. So you don't want to miss that special occasion. With that, let us now stand and greet one another in the name of Christ.
everything.
My everything.
Oh, Lord, my God, to you I give my life.
Sing it with us.
Lord of heaven and earth,
Lord of
Amen. All right. Thank you once again for being here this morning. Please have a seat. Good morning, Laura.
All right. If all my friends want to come down.
All your rowdy friends. I love it when you say that.
Friends.
All your rowdy friends can come down this morning.
All my rowdy friends.
Yeah.
How about my
That's
friends?
That's what we say in Texas.
That's right. My rowdy friends. Y'all just come on down. How about that? You're not country kids. That is right. You are not country kids. Well, good morning. How are we? Guess what today is? Hog on the Hill. Fall Festival. We're so excited. And make sure that you wear your costumes. Sweet. And I want you to know I have a special costume. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't. But I have a question. We all make excuses, don't we? And I'm sure that your parents have written an excuse for you to miss school. What were some of those excuses?
To go to the state fair.
Okay. I want to be in your family.
To be sick.
To be sick, yes. We've had a lot of those.
My teacher, there was a kids' fair, and her daughter was two. So last Friday, we had a substitute, so she went off of school.
So she had an excuse. So the teacher had an excuse. Yes.
My parents are too serious to let me do that kind of thing.
You know what? Same way with mine. I had to either be running 104 fever or throw up on their feet. That's how it was. Well, I have a couple excuses that I want to see if these are true or not. Here we go. Please excuse Josh from being absent. I forgot to wake him up, and I did not find him until I started making the beds. By then, it was too late for him to go to school. You think that's true? No. No, okay. John didn't come home from school yesterday because he was feeling like he was going to be sick. Didn't come to school yesterday because he was feeling like he was going to be sick. Thankfully, he wasn't. Please excuse Janet's absence from school. It was take your daughter to work day. Since I don't have a job, I made her stay home and do housework. They're all booing. And this is my favorite one. Please excuse Mary for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch. And when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday. Yeah. So we all make excuses, don't we? And I want you to know back in Jesus' day, they also made excuses back then too. When Jesus told them, I want you to come and follow me, they were like, I need to go bury my father. Do you think that was true?
No.
Or somebody said, I need to go greet my friends, or I need to go do something. And so there was a lot of excuses that they made back in Jesus' day. And so the reason why I brought that up is because we make excuses all the time, don't we? We do. Don't we? Well, and you know what? He doesn't want us to make excuses. And so my question to you today is, if Jesus was to ask you to follow him, would you make an excuse or would you follow him? Follow him. That's right. That's right. You want to say that again?
Because he's the Lord of the whole earth.
Very good. That's right. He is the Lord of the whole earth. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, when you call us, may we never offer excuses. Instead, may we be willing to give up everything and follow you. Amen.
Let's now enter into a time of prayer. I invite you first of all to look at the prayer list printed in your bulletin. There are several names there to be lifting up. We also want to add to that Tim Wall and his family and the death of his cousin Roger. So be with him as they have had that impact on their family. Let us now bow for a time of prayer. Gracious God, we come to you in this time of prayer to present ourselves fully as we are to you. people with weaknesses, people that have stumbled, people with gifts, abilities, people with deep connections with others who work hard, who try to make the best of what they have. But God, sometimes we forget that we need to depend upon your grace and your strength to make it through tough times. That it's not enough to rely upon our own strength, that we must turn to you. For you have shown us the way for so long. You have shown us a different path to walk. You have revealed to us your love and your deep and abiding peace that comes when we have faith in you and follow through with that faith and the commitments we have with you. Lord, we cry out for those who mourn and grieve, who've lost loved ones. We cry out for those who grow sick, who aren't sure if they're going to make it through their sickness. We cry out to those who feel trapped, abandoned, totally isolated. Lord, we are to be the instruments of peace in this world. We are to be your hands and feet in this world. Help us to not forget that we have an incredible responsibility to listen to you. Take that into our hearts. Look around us at the need and respond with grace. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before the ushers come forward, today is Consecration Sunday, where we pray over and decide with our commitments for 2017, what we will give, how we will serve, where we will be committed in the life of this church as we serve God together. If you don't have a pledge card this morning, as the ushers come forward to collect, they'll be glad to hand you one if you just indicate to them. Let us now bow and bless this morning's offering. God, we know all we have truly in terms of funds, it's meaningless. What truly counts is your deep love, taking that deep love and to us, making you first in our lives, and seeking for that to become a reality as we live out our day-to-day living. So may we give, not because it's what you're supposed to do, not because feel obligated, but because we have faith in you. And we believe in your great work in this world. Amen.
You live among the least of these, the weary and the weak. And it would be a tragedy.
Chapter 9, verses 51 and 59 through 62. These are the verses that we're going to share together. And as they're read aloud, I invite you to listen to these words from Jesus that will most undoubtedly make us feel uncomfortable. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And to another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. Pablo Escobar was a notorious and infamous drug dealer, Don, head honcho of his drug empire out of Colombia. He flooded cocaine through many different countries, including our own. His methods were barbaric, gruesome, left many dead. With his riches, he would at times fund poor communities. A radical, extreme. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Protestant theologian who taught, preached in Germany, who protested against the rise of Hitler and attempted to assassinate him. Radical. Extreme. When we think of the word radical, different things come to our mind. Those that challenge the status quo, the normative way of life. Those that push our boundaries and make us uncomfortable. Those that are risky. Those that are dangerous. Brothers and sisters, we believe in and we follow a radical. Christ calls us to be radicals, to give of ourselves to further that mission. Radical. Not only by his actions of giving his life, the ways that he would push boundaries by rescuing prostitutes from being stoned, or going and greeting folks that you weren't supposed to greet and heal. But his words cut deep just as much. Let the dead bury their own dead. Go and proclaim the kingdom. Jesus is saying in this passage, don't waste your time. That person's already dead. And what I envision Jesus trying to push with this is there is urgency. The kingdom of God is at hand. There is no time. There is no time to say goodbye to family. Go and proclaim the kingdom. There can be no hesitancy. There can be no lukewarm. The kingdom of God is at hand. Have we forgotten the purpose of the kingdom of God? It is to flip this world upside down on its head. To put hate in the dirt and let love reign. To put an end to violence and have peace flourish. It is for the weak and the vulnerable to have self-worth. sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. Go and proclaim the kingdom. We've heard that verse, I know, so many times. How do you interpret it? Many of the ones we are talking about this morning, we try to dance, step aside, around, to avoid the sheer horror of what it means when we actually obey these things that Jesus is saying. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That is because when we are all in for Jesus, when we have our lives dedicated, every aspect Jesus touches, we will make enemies. Because the message we preach, the message we act about in our day-to-day living is one that is for so many centuries been met with opposition. When there are those that preach messages of love in the face of hate, what usually happens to them? They are killed. Brothers and sisters, this last verse, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Go and proclaim the kingdom. Do you find any wiggle room with the words that Jesus is sharing? For so long, our society has, and our own Christian culture has buffed these words of Jesus, softened them. We are to raise a family, have a job, get retirement, enjoy our life. But I have a hard time finding any evidence in the Bible that that is what God calls us to do. Our God calls us to a higher purpose, to be a radical like Jesus. And what is so astounding, my brothers and sisters, is that when we get in on our head and we just throw it off, relinquish all of the attachments that control our lives and instead embrace God and become a radical for Him, we have not only freed ourselves, but we are fulfilling our purpose. And if we all in this room did that, we would be beginning, by the grace of God, transforming this world. So we ask the question, how do we do that? It starts by having every aspect of our life, having Jesus a part of it. That deep, wondrous, compassionate love of Jesus within our hearts, where we can respond to the needs of people. For Jesus to enter our eyes so that we see all of the problems, divisions, hardships of people around us, so we can have the godly eyes to know where we can be of help. To enter into our wonderful minds, that we can use our analytical skills, our creativity to come up with plans, systems, and all kinds of opportunities of how to truly conquer hardships in this world. To be with our strength that guides us each and every step, because the path Christ wants us to follow is the most difficult, but the most rewarding. Promises of joy and peace. And brothers and sisters, it calls for us to understand how much power this has. This controls our life. Where our money goes tells us what is most important in our life. And when Jesus said, "You can only serve one master," he was talking of the difference between God and money. We all know the deep control that has upon us. And the truth is that we must turn every aspect of our lives to Jesus. In seminary, when it would come around to Martin Luther King Jr. Day, that was a day off from our classes, but it was famously said, it's not a day off, it's a day on to do great work for others, a mission and service day. So there are different groups that organized around campus to go out into the District of Columbia to help various organizations and folks on this day. What did I do? I stayed in my dorm, was lazy, and watched Netflix. Does that sound like a radical? Does that sound like what Jesus calls us to do? You've read the stories. You've seen Jesus act out the words he shared in his own life. And you see it too, how we have so many connections, so many attachments, that if we're honest, they hold us back from truly giving all of our control over to God. The title of my sermon this morning is a question. What does it mean to follow? And that's a legitimate question for you to ask yourself. What does it mean to follow this radical Savior in Jesus Christ? Maybe you're wanting to be on the diving board. I don't know if you've ever been on the diving boards that go a little higher, but they're scary. The board kind of dips further down than the lower levels, but it allows you to dive deeper under the water. It allows you to dive deeper into the depths of God's love. Why else are we gathered here in this place other than to walk this path that Christ has given us? We can come up with various interpretations to dissuade really doing it. We can come up with the excuses that we offer for our children to skip school. Or we can just truly, honestly push forward, ask God for help, and plunge deep into the waters of God's grace, trusting that God will be there when we go into those depths. It is risky. It is dangerous. But isn't that a life worth living? Isn't that a life worth excelling within? Let's transform our world, starting with this city, and go out from there. May we, by the grace of God, not look back, but push forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As the praise team comes up to lead us in our final song, you'll have an opportunity during that song to come up and place your pledge cards and commitments into this basket. It's a symbolism of your dedication in the next year, of how you will give your life to God as we covenant together as a church, knowing we need each other, knowing we must lean upon each other. And once you place that card in here, I want to invite you to pray at these prayer rails. And if there's not room, just simply pray right here with how God can lead you to fulfill a deeper walk that God knows you can walk. Let us be standing.
Jesus, your love is hardened.
I know you're hungry. I know you're hungry for the grace of God, not just for lunch right after here, not just for the barbecue later on today, but you are hungry for more of God's love. Free yourself. Accept what God gives you each day, knowing God is present in each and every moment in light or darkness, God is there. May we always believe that. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.